Talking to me? You look like a man I could be a best friend with.
Okay, here I come.
Come on with Raz now, hop on my jet ski, grab into my waist, take a ride with me, please.
But what about the hose?
Hey, who needs the hose? Gonna show you how to have the perfect vacation. Gonna sink you up to the island vibration. What do you say?
I'm open to that.
Now get a metal piercing, eyebrows and navel. Make them magnetic, no need for painful. Sew in the dreadlocks. Shells on the neck, shells on the wrist. Now string them all up, get the shells on the ankle. Underwear to camera. Disposable camera. Grooving on the beach, jam and coconuts. Get the silly straw from the silly straw hut. Virgin colada. No, wrong.
Virgin colada.
No, wrong. Google Red Lobster, make a reservation. Pager will buzz you when your table's ready. Get the appetizer. Certain locations, prices will vary. Talk to the manager, ask for the special. Catch of the day. Manager discount. Tropical endeavor for the island. Welcome holiday.
It's Rex. Welcome to Rim Crim.
Hey.
This is our, our other podcast. We have another one that we've been doing for a few years now called CDOS.
Corey and Dylan on.
Shit. And then Rim Crim is a dedication to the good folks who have appeared on Tim and Eric.
It's an exploration of the Tim and Eric universe.
Excellent.
Yeah. So we've had David Liebehart on the show, and actually earlier tonight we had Tennessee Luke. If you're familiar with those characters,
I've never met any of those guys in person, but cool.
Yeah.
And we were. It was my idea to get Raz on.
Yes. It was Dylan's idea. Dylan's idea.
That is up in my top favorite Tim and Eric bits. That whole best friends episode.
And we're legit fanboys. So you know, Dylan's quivering a bit. He's a little bit nervous. I tried to calm him down. He's okay now, right, Dylan?
I think I'm good for a good conversation.
Yeah,
I should have done this in character, in which I just sit here in sunglasses and don't actually say anything.
So like, let's start off. Like, did you say like, do I say anything?
Like how did that all go down? That whole.
What a question! Give me the whole thing.
How did I audition for that?
Okay, like, what was the sort of like initial moment where you were like
production day?
Where you were like, oh, here's a thing I might go do. Like, what was the initial like sort of spark? The inciting incident. What was the inciting incident?
My call to action.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I had never heard of or seen Tim and Eric prior to my involvement. I had done like various background work for other stuff, the Drew Carey Show and all that, and I made an agent out of that and got my SAG card and all that stuff. And one day my agent called, it was like a week or two after I just got this agent, and was like, I got you this audition for this thing called Tim and Eric, you know, awesome show. And I was like, what is it? And she was like, I don't know.
Sounds like a good agent.
Right. So I looked up like, you know, a clip or two on YouTube, and honestly, the first thing I saw, I called her back and I was like, so do I have to do this? Or like, and she was like, just do it. What's wrong? I don't remember what I saw. Mm-hmm. Obviously it was something from season one, and I assume it was like one of the fart joke type sketches, because they're very, you know, they have either the 80s infomercial style thing or just the gross out sketches. Right. And I must have seen one of those. And I was just like, this is bad. This is just, I don't know what this is. So, you know, I end up going to the audition out of a courtesy to my agent, who is a friend of mine. And I get in there and there's all the, it seemed like there was mostly just homeless people. And like, there's that one guy who's in like all the 80s and 90s film, who's like that featured extra that whenever they go to like Venice Beach or Santa Monica, it's the rock and roll, like I'm on roller skates and I got dreads down my butt and he's got a guitar. It's that guy. He's definitely in like one of the Beverly Hills Cop movies. Mm-hmm. He was the guy before me. And then they called me in and I was like, what the hell is going on here? And they had asked for a dramatic monologue. So what? I came in with this like dramatic monologue that was from like this indie film from Noah Baumbach. And I put it out there and I didn't know what this was. I didn't care. And so I accidentally nailed it. It was like the best audition I'd ever had. And like, I left and I was like, whatever. Never going to hear from that again. And like a week later, I'm on set with these guys. And they were so cool. They were like the coolest dudes in the world, totally down to earth. And it was like, at the time, I was heavy into doing my own YouTube thing. And it felt like that thing of like, here's a bunch of dudes who accidentally made it. And they're just having fun. Like any of my YouTube friends were doing, they just had the money and the stage and the studio and all this stuff. And it was so cool. So yeah, that's how it happened.
So you're on set and you're filming this Raz thing. And did you know before, like, we're interested to know, like, you know, to get sort of a little bit of a peek behind the yield curtain. Like, sure. Did they tell you what the bit was before, you know, you came on set? Or were you just given sort of a costume and they were just like, just stand there?
I mean, before I got to set, I got like a script, you know, and once I got there, they like, you know, came over and like, here's the deal. This is what we're going to do. It's going to be like all this green screen stuff. And, you know, we're just going to superimpose all this stuff and it's just going to be fun, you know. So like, that was basically it. Oh, no, I didn't really have quite the vision of what the turnout of the whole thing was going to be. But honestly, like these guys are so fast. Halfway through the day, we'd already done all the jet ski green screen stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I was never on an actual jet ski ever. So nobody get confused. Yeah. Never happened. I never saw water. The only thing that was real was like those bumper scenes where I'm like sitting in a chair with both of them.
Right.
You know, any of the music stuff, it's completely green screen. So, you know, we'd done a bunch of that, and halfway through the day, one of the editors walked in with a laptop and was like asking questions like, what do you think about this jet ski? And like, it was already started. Like that, you know, that part of the video was like a good 40% done by halfway through that day.
So they were like, shooting and editing and compositing the bad clip art into the shot.
Oh yeah, they were totally on it. It was insane to see anything turn around that fast. Yeah,
see, that's something cool we've never known about.
We didn't know that. We didn't know how quickly they did it because we just assumed, like, you know, you shoot your footage, it goes to post, and then, you know, you mull over it for however much time. But they were like firing it out.
Do you remember if it was like Doug Pound or any of those guys?
I don't remember. It was so long ago.
Was
I don't
it just
remember
like a
anything.
Nerdy was question. It like just like a one day shoot?
Yeah, it was a one day shoot.
Gotcha.
Yep.
So we just spoke to someone. So Tennessee League told us that they had an immaculate craft table, like great food. Do you remember anything with the craft table?
I don't know how much of that.
I honestly don't remember the craft table at all.
Yeah.
I did the movie and that I remember. There was definitely an awesome craft table. As far as the show went,
oh, were you in the movie?
Briefly, yeah. I'm on screen for a good 12 frames, like 1/10 of a second.
Wow.
It's It's like there's a montage. I don't even know when it hits in the movie anymore, but they go through a bunch of stuff, and there's a bunch of guys with dreads, and Eric, and there's like this giant like 10-foot bong, and you just see like us hit and release, and it's done. It's
the bong scene.
Yeah, I'm in
That's the beginning of the movie.
Okay, I might remember that.
When they do the drugs after they get all the money and blow it all.
Right.
Right.
Okay, so that was it. And did they call you back for anything? Like, did you keep in touch with them? What was the sort of like, was there anything that lingered after the day of shooting besides the movie?
I mean, no, not, we killed that hobo, but that's totally a different story. I have a feeling I'm just not crazy enough for those guys. But I did, at the time they were doing every year at Comic-Con, they did Awesome Con. Mm-hmm. And they did that for 3 or 4 years. And I was going to Comic-Con anyway, so I would show up for those. And they were always totally cool to me. And, like, you know, we'd hang out and, you know, at the Awesome Con and
all
stuff like
all
that.
All you gotta do is put on the sunglasses and not say anything.
Right. Just stand there.
Yeah.
And so you never got to meet any of the other sort of infamous Tim and Eric players when you worked with them?
I probably met a few of them at Awesome Con. Yeah. I definitely had the sit on you guys sit on me.
Palmer Scott.
Palmer Scott. What's the status for?
We're working on Palmer Scott.
We're working on getting
him.
Yeah.
So we're
gonna try and get everybody. That's the plan.
Right on. That couldn't be that hard.
It's actually been a very interesting experience.
Scheduling is obviously we've been trying to schedule this for 6 months or something. So.
Yeah. No, like our thing is just sort of like we're all busy people. A lot of the Tim and Eric guys are just like, my head hurts. I need a week. Yeah. You know what I mean? This doesn't work. These are the dates I can do it. And then like a day later, like nothing works. Come back to me in 4 hours. Like it's sometimes it's just been a very interesting and fun.
But you lose a lot through email, right? I mean, some people don't know how to communicate over email, which doesn't like show aggression or
right.
But like, yeah.
I don't know how my emails come across, but they should be screaming. I'm just in pain, jamming like glass into my hand, screaming at you guys. Is that how it sounds? Ah! Should I use more caps? Maybe. I don't know. I don't really like caps locks. So
let's learn a little bit about the man behind the Raz right here. You know, let's pull behind the Raz curtain. Let's pull behind the dreads.
You've got a great, YouTube channel.
Oh, cool. You guys check that out?
Oh, yeah. We saw, thanks. You know, you've got, like, you know, stuff with your kids and...
A Minute with Sam Proof was one of my favorites. I enjoy that.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
I enjoy it. Yeah. You know, your comedy has, like, a tinge of Tim and Eric to it.
Well, I'm actually from Pennsylvania, so I have a feeling that we all experienced the same sort of youth, and we were influenced by a lot of the same things. Like, every one of those sort of infomercial style sketches they have are straight out of things that I grew up with.
Like, what are some infamous ones that, like, maybe you and your friends would, like, make fun of or repeat?
Oh, like commercials?
Yeah.
From the actual... I don't know if you guys have Carvel ice cream.
We do.
Up in
Canada. We had those commercials, too.
Yeah, the Tom Carvel, like... Happy Father's Day! I'm Tom Carvel! Have a whale of a Father's Day! It was the best thing ever. And my kids are about to invade this interview.
Oh, amazing.
Good,
they're more than welcome to
good.
Join.
We're about chaos here on Rim Crim.
That's Betty.
Hey, Betty.
Hi, Betty.
I'm Corey.
You're saying hi.
Here,
you can hear that way.
Hi, Betty.
Is this how this works?
Hi, Betty from Canada.
We're speaking to your daddy from a foreign country, from Toronto, Canada.
You can talk louder because they have to hear through the mic.
Oh.
Okay.
What
are you doing right now?
Sitting on daddy's lap.
That's very literal. All right. Go play.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, there's like seven kids out there right now because it's actually my 2-year-old's birthday.
Right. So how did the birthday party go? We saw an Instagram of that.
Yeah, I didn't know that you were on Instagram. I would have added you way sooner.
Oh, I'm pretty much on any platform you can think of. Right. I like jump on anything that I think is going to catch fire and like make sure I've got my name, Sam Proof, no matter where I'm at.
Are you?
Oh, it was good. It was a good birthday party. Yeah.
Yeah. Was there good? It was good cake. Good cake for the kids.
We had chocolate cupcakes with chocolate frosting and chocolate sprinkles.
Oh my god,
sprinkles!
It's so good.
I love chocolate.
Yeah. So it was like cake, yep. And are they at the age where like it can be cake and pizza? Are they like at the pizza age yet?
Apparently, I haven't checked out my Instagram because I do pizza from scratch like once a week here.
What? Oh, I haven't seen that. Yeah, we're newbies.
I have about 20 years of pizza experience. Actually, it's probably 30 now. I've worked at two different pizza places when I was in my 20s. And I can hand toss pies, and I do all these like crazy recipes. So if you go to my website or my YouTube, has a few of these. Samproof.tv/recipe. Mm-hmm. I have like clam and garlic pizza, or like bacon wrapped date pizza, stuff like that.
Whoa, bacon wrapped dates really get my. I'm interested in this.
That is the
clam
best.
And garlic.
The clam and garlic is fantastic, but like if you like sweet and salty. The bacon wrap date pizza is like the best thing I've ever done in my life.
Dylan's a pesky dick. He's a pescatarian.
Corey's more omnivorian than I am.
Yeah, I'm way more omnivorian.
I'm not an omnivore. But
I'm the kind of guy who like stands next to the plate of bacon wrap dates at a party, and then just tells everyone how good they are. You know,
guys,
have you tried these?
They're
so good. You know, and then just like you know, a different person.
Oh,
like,
where'd all those things go?
Oh, guys, you got to try it. I'm going to try this with you. It's like, Corey, how many have you had? Like, I got to introduce people. I got to set the party up right, man. You know, trying to get all this bacon, all these dates in my mouth. Yeah. So, wait, so Sammy, so tell us, do you have any good pizza stories from the pizzerias? Like sort of strange customer requests or anything like that? The topic of pizza fascinates us.
I mean, nothing directly to the pizza element that comes to mind, but I used to work at Villanova hat with big, you know, college, university, whatever has a campus corner, which I imagine every college has a campus corner pizza place. that's where I originally learned how to make pizza and stuff. And it was one of those things where I was like, okay, I just want to cook. I don't want to ever do the register. So of course, like 4 or 5 months in, they were like, we need you to do the register. Mm-hmm. I was like, guy. And like the minute I got on there, it was like the worst register experience. Like this, the first phone call I got was an office party that wanted like 20 different things. Oh. And I was just like, what is this craziness? Why would you do this to me? And like the sort of nail in the coffin was this girl comes in with this accent that I just don't recognize, like maybe Boston. And she says, hey, avocados. I was like, what are you talking about? What language is this? Avocados. I was like, I don't know what you're asking me for. Avocados for a dollar. And I was like, slow it down.
4 quarters.
Avocados for a dollar. I was like, are you saying quarters? Who the fuck are you? Sorry, can I curse on your thing?
It's uncensored.
Yeah. So not a pizza directly related story, but that's the weirdest one I had when I was there.
Just like you're on the cash, and then somebody's just like screaming at you for forcadas.
Yeah. It was just and I've tried never to go back to cash register ever since then.
Yeah, because then you have to interact with strange accents and pizza is simple.
I hate accents. That's it. That's what I'm saying here, folks. I hate accents.
Yeah.
Nope.
This is an accent free
zone. Sam Proof, accent hater.
It's my tagline.
Do you make pizza now for a living, or that's just like a family thing?
No, it's just a family thing. I've toyed with the idea of opening up my own like food truck or restaurant at some point in my life, ooh, but I will never make pizza for another like establishment.
I have a dream of a late night joint. You know, it's not a food truck, or maybe it could be a food truck, but I don't think it'll work as a food truck. I already tell you this, Dylan.
No.
I want to open a late night bagel place.
Late night bagel place? I'm into that.
Okay. Just
I'd
like
get behind that.
Chewy, you know, not that Montreal style shit.
I love Montreal.
No.
All right.
Okay. I want thick New York or Toronto style bagels, but like dirty, greasy, amazing. Okay. Like pizza, like double pizza bagel.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like a burger bagel. You know, banquet burger bagel.
I could see
double, triple BLT. You know,
do like a pastrami.
Oh yeah,
you know, melted cheese. Yeah,
four mustard pastrami sandwich.
Yeah,
you know,
fantastic.
Because like, if you have a smoked meat, you must have more than one, more than two mustards. You know, to make it really sing. In my opinion, you got to have like a crunch. You got to have like the mustard seed. Plus, like a horseradish and a Dijon. That's what I love.
Anyways. I am with you on there. I am a mustard fanatic myself.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Multiple mustards definitely make me. Not that you would know anything about that, Dylan.
I don't mustard.
You don't.
Another thing that like you that you like that I don't.
So Sam, where are you based right now? Are you in?
I'm in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles. So how did you make it from Pennsylvania to Los Angeles?
By plane? Is that the answer you want there?
Yeah, sure.
I made a series of mistakes as a teenager that I decided I needed to leave that state for a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also, at around the same time, met a girl on online who was out here, and that was the impetus that made the move happen.
On which
and then the
which,
minute I got here, she left the picture.
Which website did you meet her?
You know, I actually at the time was running a newsletter. I don't even know what to call that anymore.
They used to call them a listserv.
Oh, what's that?
A listserv? Or like email news group thing?
Yeah, it was like an email news group. Man, it's been so long that idea just left my head. So it was an email news group for Jets to Brazil and Jawbreaker.
Daddy?
Yes, Betty. Sorry, guys. Go for it. So I'm running there's a band that had the same singer in it. Oh, tell her 10 minutes or 20 minutes or something. So yeah, I'm running this news group. And I, you know, ended up making friends with all these people who are into this band, Jets to Brazil and Jawbreaker. And this girl introduced me to this other girl who was into them, and then things just went crazy.
So you
and
got,
I think at the time I was using like AOL Instant Messenger. So
that's
the culprit.
And is that the woman that you met? Is that the one that is?
No.
That ended quick, remember?
Oh, okay.
That was a minute ago.
Yeah, I don't know if he was on screen when that happened.
I went to Bloomingdale's. Yeah,
oh, maybe you weren't on screen.
Literally within the month of me moving to California, she was out of the picture.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe perhaps
a long time after.
Perhaps a blessing? Yes, maybe.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yes. And so, okay, so now you're in LA, and what's happening?
Yeah. I do a lot of work for... For a long time, it was reality television and indie films, and it was pretty much every job possible. And then,
are you ready?
No. I have to be ready now. So it moved over to for the last 3 or 4 years, I've been doing entertainment news as My official title was, I'm getting very distracted. She keeps opening the door.
That's
basically,
okay.
I was part editor and part the guy who, like, rips all the YouTube videos for our host to watch and react to. But currently, I'm just freelance with Geek & Sundry and Nerdist doing a technical design. I'm, like, the switcher that runs their live stream.
Oh, cool.
A couple shows, yeah.
So, like you're on like the switcher, or just like you just do it on like a laptop. You switch video for it.
Yeah, I'm on a giant honking machine. I'm on the TriCaster 8000, which is like the size of a piano and has like 200 buttons and 5 monitors, and yeah, it's crazy.
Nice. I went to broadcasting school here in Toronto, and part of like our just like going through the course was like learning how to do studio work. Those things are like, they're enormous, but like kind of fun. How did you learn how to train on one of those?
Honestly, through YouTube.
Wow.
Yeah, so my channel is over 10,000 subscribers, which if you're in one of the key cities, which is like Los Angeles, New York, Paris, and like 3 or 4 other places at this point, I think they might have one in Canada soon. They have these studios, YouTube space, and you take like an introduction course and you get access to it, and it's completely free to YouTubers of 10,000 or more subscribers to use. And then they have these workshops. One of them was this live streaming workshop that had the TriCaster in it, and I just learned it from that. But I'd been doing, you know, OBS and Wirecast for like, you know, a decade. So really it's just like, okay, so I take this knowledge that I've done on software and I just put it to physical keys.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So is like, so YouTube effectively like invited you to come to their like big space and make content.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
That's,
and that was like, I think that was 4 years ago, and I was using it all the time at that point. I haven't really used it lately, but I could still go back.
And were you like an early YouTube adopter? Did you like sort of like jump right on it as soon as it started like really happening?
I was on YouTube, I think it's 2007. I might have been the end of 2006, but yeah, I've been on there at least 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And like, what have you seen in terms of like the evolution of it? Like
chaos.
Yeah.
I mean, it went from this sort of quirky community of like, oh, we could put videos on the internet and like talk to each other, where it was almost like this kind of thing, but it wasn't live. Mm-hmm. But like, there was this very interactive community back in the day, and people would just post videos and reply to other people's videos and have a conversation that way. And they eventually made it harder and harder for people to do that. Hi, what's up? And now, you know, and once they opened up like partners and monetization, you know, people got their game face on and it became a very competitive market.
Right.
And then once the brands found out that there was actually like money to be made by spending money there, it just went insane. And now it's just like a total cesspool of horrible things.
Right. Yeah. And like, were you ever recruited by any of like the companies, like the makers or like any of the other like MCNs, like Full Screen?
I am with Full Screen. I'm still with Full Screen. And it's not because Full Screen does anything specifically to help my channel out, but they do have sort of a bunch of third party connections, like you get access to certain websites and stuff like that. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So like, you know, there's an amount of like royalty free like audio stuff you can get through them and stuff like that.
So like,
so it's because of those extras.
You get cool stuff from them is basically what you get out of it.
I mean, not directly from them, but because of connections they've made.
Right. And like, do you see that YouTube money, as people call it?
I did, and now not as much. Yes, Betty.
I want to do puppet
email
please with you.
Give me a little time.
No!
You guys can go. Oh, you want to do it with me? But you're gonna have to wait.
Okay.
Can you go wait?
Can you do it first?
The bargaining phase.
Yeah, this is fascinating.
I want, or can we just do it by ourselves without you?
Okay, you can do it without me. Okay. Go on. And then rewrap everything and we'll do it again later and I'll pretend I'm surprised because I already know what's in those boxes. All right.
So what was it? Tell us about what like from like a parental strategy sort of like outlook, like what just happened?
Because that was amazing, by the way.
Like that was skillfully done.
That may have been the smoothest I've ever handled anything like that, actually. So for the last, 20 minutes, she's been poking in. These aren't even her presents. They're her sister's presents that she really is very concerned about opening. Mm-hmm. And I guess her mother probably said, we're going to wait for Dad. So she has been coming in here 3 or 4 times to get me out of there. And I'm not even positive how I pulled that off. But they're going to go ahead and open those without me at this point.
Right.
What room are you in?
I'm in my studio in the garage.
Okay.
It looks like you've got a lot of like old video games behind you.
Those are board games.
Are you a board game guy?
I am a board game guy. I do a podcast live stream called Pizza Games and Zombies. And we talk about, I think you could probably figure it out.
Board games, right?
Pizza games and board games, yeah. Wow. Or pizza board games and zombies. But and sometimes the board games have zombies.
And who are your guests for the podcast?
We haven't done the guest like
who are your companions
well,
on the show.
Well, I was going to say we were really active back about 4 or 5 years ago, mm-hmm. and that's when we did have a lot of guests when we were doing a website called Stickam. And so we had like Bria Grant from Heroes and Matt Mercer, who is now probably the number one Geek and Sundry. Mm-hmm. He's a voiceover actor. We had a couple of those guys.
Awesome.
I can't think of anyone else off the top of my head. Oh, Glenn Whitman, who was a writer for Fringe, which was a sci-fi show back in like 2009, maybe.
I remember.
And so they would come on the show and like you talk about the board games.
Yeah, we'd play a board game for like 3 or 4 hours. Sometimes we're lucky enough to actually have pizza sponsored by a local company, but otherwise we would just buy a pizza and we would go crazy. We would have like a zombie topic, like, you know, is it worth going to a Costco in the eventuality of an actual zombie apocalypse? Like, mm-hmm. is that a good plan or not? Like that kind of thing.
Right, right.
Depends if there's zombies in the Costco or not.
Well, undoubtedly there would be because Costcos are so big, but also, and moreover, there would be other humans who would be trying to get all that stuff.
Would you mix like pizza into the survival scenarios, like different pizza related scenarios?
Maybe once. Yeah. I think that may have happened once or twice. I can't think of any times offhand.
Like, is the person who ordered pineapple the first to die?
Right.
That's my question.
Hawaiian, more like dying. There you go.
So, like, wait, what's everybody's opinion on pineapple on pizza? I don't want to offend anybody.
I think it's abhorrent.
You think it's abhorrent?
I hate pineapple on my pizza.
Okay.
Yeah. I am not a big fan, and my wife will just not even go near it. Like, there are occasions where I'll be like, I mean, it's the only pizza here. I'm going to eat it.
Mm.
But my wife would be like, fuck that. I'm going somewhere else.
I feel like
that's a real strong.
But I feel like if you're putting pineapple on the pizza, you are assuming that everyone else wants it and you didn't ask. So either you asked everyone or you're getting leftovers, in which case you have no. But if someone just makes a pizza, I made a pizza but it's got pineapples on it, like,
yeah, you're just a mean person. Like,
yeah.
I made food for myself. I don't know what y'all are doing. So
that's like, it was like
for you guys.
It's a very strongly awkward second date situation that I'm going to throw out here. Like, let's say, you know, you're hanging out with someone and like you're getting really hungry. It's about like 1 a.m. And you're just like, oh, I'm really hungry. And then, you know, the person you're like on a date with is like, oh, there's some pizza in the fridge. You like pizza? And you're like, yeah, I love pizza. But then you open the fridge and you hate pineapple and there's some pineapple on the pizza.
Well, I would just not make a big deal about it. Be like, oh, you know what? I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
You just said you were hungry. But it's got pineapple on it. It's ruined. You might as well throw it on the floor.
So, like, what if like that could ruin your relationship with that person?
So be it.
Would you eat the pineapple?
I mean,
imagine every time you wanted pizza.
How long would that have lasted anyway?
good point.
You'd have to have separate pizzas, that's all. You'd have to really love that person to accept all their flaws, including the consumption of pineapple. Pineapple on its own, no problem.
Pineapple's great. I have no problem with that at all.
Yeah, I have no problem with pineapple on its own. Fruit on its own, totally okay with fruit.
So
in salads, I'm like, dude.
Well, now I will actually say I have, of recent in the last 2 years, put fruit on my pizza, just not pineapple.
The dates,
mostly like dates.
Pears.
I've done some berries. We did a pear one. It was all right.
What kind of berries are you putting on pizza?
I did raspberries. It was raspberries, prosciutto, and I'm going to say feta cheese, but I feel like that's wrong.
Feta's okay.
Okay, you said prosciutto. Yeah. If you can put prosciutto on pretty much anything on a pizza, and I will eat it.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Put some any sort of like thinly sliced meat on a pizza. And,
for sure, yeah.
And, you know, you could put like... you know, molasses on there as well. I'll be like, oh, well, as long as there's prosciutto, it's fine.
Molasses. I'm going to write this down.
Molasses prosciutto flatbread.
You're giving him ideas.
Good.
I'm trying to. I don't have any recipes. I haven't written any. I don't have a website with recipes. Sam does. So, you know.
Oh, she's back. Got everybody hide.
Yeah.
Yes, Betty. What's up?
John.
Did you open the presents? Okay. A little bit.
No, I want you to read them. No, but I want to open the presents.
Oh, I know. Yeah. But you gotta wait.
Really?
Yeah, really. Yeah. Really? Hey, go ask Mommy what we're gonna have for dinner.
Yeah.
We're going to eat breakfast for dinner? Fantastic.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
Egg, ham.
Dylan, you have more questions for Sam?
Do I have more questions for Sam?
I'm putting you on the hot spot, Shot.
You're putting me on the hot spot. Well.
Oh, boy. Hang on, guys.
All right.
Okay.
Give me one second to wrangle this.
Yeah. Okay. I'll just chirp with Dylan.
All right.
We'll just chirp.
Sorry, guys. All right, I'm back.
All right,
you're back.
Okay.
No worries. Dylan,
we can do another one with less interruptions, maybe at some point.
It's making this interesting. There's like a bit of like tension. There's like a parental
slice of life.
There's like a parental tension to it. I like it a lot. So that's your daughter Betty. That's your daughter Betty. How old is she?
Betty will be 4 at the end of May. And Iris just turned 2.
And Iris just turned 2.
Iris is not going to come on video.
She's upstairs playing.
She's probably just having fun with her new toys.
Yeah.
She's probably not interested in being on a podcast.
What toys did you purchase for her?
Me specifically?
Like what toys did she get?
She so far we only opened the presents from like the people that showed up for the party, and then we're going to go in and do the ones that the like close family got her soon. But so she got so far like a Barbie doll size Belle from Beauty and the Beast. She really likes a Minnie Mouse gown and ears, a bunch of books, specifically Maisie, the little mouse, a lot of mouse stuff. And it was like this birthday cake, like a woodblock birthday cake with candles that come in and out, and like it's all slices of cake, and you have like a slicer server thing, but they're all Velcro together. It sounds like a horrible thing.
It sounds horrific. Yeah,
horrific. Yeah. But
sounds crazy.
She's gonna love it.
Yeah, she loves it.
So
she
did does. You did you take her to see Beauty and the Beast starring Emma Watson?
No, she has never seen that at all. And is unaware of what it is from.
Okay.
I feel like there's going to be, in her lifetime, like 10 more incarnations of Beauty and the Beast.
Perhaps.
Probably.
It's an enduring franchise.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it, Dylan?
I believe so. I remember. Do you remember the one with Linda Hamilton? Is that her name?
I don't know.
Maybe.
No? And
Sam, what was the last like good movie you saw in the theater?
In the theater?
Yeah.
How good is good? I saw Doctor Strange.
Oh yeah. You like that one?
Yeah.
Did you see Star Wars?
No, I haven't seen Star Wars yet.
What?
I like Doctor Strange.
Hard to get out.
I understand.
The kids are still at an age where it's like, if we want to see a movie, that's like, for two people, because I'm not taking the kids to Star Wars, it's $30 just to see the movie because we're in Los Angeles, and then it's $40 for like the babysitter.
For the sitter.
And I'm not willing to spend $100 on a movie.
No, that's I get that sense about little children and movies, which is. Yeah. It is much more expensive than, not having children and going to see films. Yeah. Doctor Strange is cool though. It's like it was psychedelic and weird and Cumberbatchy.
Yeah, very very Cumberbatchy. But as far as the superhero movies go, that was one of the better ones for sure. They'll never make one quite like that again, I'm sure.
I hope they do. I hope they continue to make psychedelic trip out flicks.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with that.
Like The Watchmen?
Yeah, they'll definitely never make a Watchmen again.
I read that. I read that they were going to do an animated version of the graphic novel,
that would be cool.
That would make me very happy.
Yeah, that would be solid.
Because the graphic novel is like probably my favorite graphic novel ever, but the movie was just like, another Zack Snyder boner jam.
Yeah, he just shouldn't be allowed to touch the story, and then it would be fine. Like, he's really good at, here's, a really long, music video.
Yes.
But, beyond that, it's like, come on, dude.
Come on, dude.
Even things he produces at this point, I can always tell, and I'm like, I just saw something the other day. And I was like, what is this? And then I saw his name on it, and I was like, oh, okay.
No, his name on things means that, there will be no substance to the characters.
Yeah.
And it'll just be visual boner jams for, at least 45 minutes.
Was he involved with 300?
He directed it.
He directed it.
Yeah. And Sucker Punch and,
Sin City.
Wanted? Is that thing...
Wanted.
No,
Wanted was Timur Bekmambetov.
But was he one of the producers on Wanted?
Probably.
Yeah, I think so. It has a lot of. Oh, you know what? No, that's not what I'm thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been Suicide Squad. Suicide Squad.
Oh, boo.
Ah.
I knew it was two things I watched in one day because I was house sitting for someone.
I was just dragged out to see that with my niece and nephew, so I just had to
Suicide Squad. Really hurt me.
That was a big disappointment, I would say.
I love bad movies, fun bad movies, but movies that are trying to be good but are terrible are just the very it hurts me. Suicide Squad I watched on a plane. And I watched the whole thing. It kept my attention for some reason, but I had no idea what the hell was going on ever.
Yeah. Yeah. It felt like also there was a lot of just plot holes. I don't even understand the whole Joker storyline of that thing. I was like, isn't he dead at this point? What happened here? I don't know.
A lot of things that should have been kept in canon were just
so they filmed that movie here in Toronto, Sam.
Oh, really?
And some folks saw Jared Leto just biking around the city on a fixie with his Joker hair.
Sure.
And that was a thing.
I actually was biking to work. And I actually saw them filming the scene where he's on top of the Batmobile.
Okay.
But I think it was obviously a stunt double.
That was at night, right?
Yeah. Well, it was 4 in the morning or 3 in the
morning. What were you doing biking home at 4 in the morning?
No, I was biking to work. I was doing an event.
Mm-hmm. Event?
At Ryerson.
Kind of sketchy event was that?
Audio-visual sketchy.
Audio-visual. Okay, sure.
We have a guest here, Corey.
I know we do. I know we do. Hey. We're probing. Hey, I'm probing you, Dylan. You're sometimes you're the guest as well.
Yeah, let's turn this thing against him. Yes. So, Dylan.
Do you have any questions for us? There you go.
Yeah, what are you doing for a job? What's your job? What do you do?
What's your job like?
Who are you biking to?
Well, I have a few jobs, actually. I am a audiovisual technician, so I do live sound for, you know, corporate meetings, government meetings, trade shows, what have you. But I also mix, like, you know, bands on occasion.
I
also DJ a lot. I do weddings and some clubs and underground electronic music, that kind of stuff. I have a record label, just putting out like actual vinyl.
Right on.
Yeah.
Nice.
So,
yeah.
Have you ever heard drum and bass jungle?
I'm more of a punk guy.
You're
so
a punk
I kinda
guy.
Stay away from that stuff.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who are really into, you know, the hardcore rock. Usually can't get down with the straight techno. I started in rock growing up, and then I got into heavy. You know, I love punk. I love industrial.
That's the crossover. It's how much you love industrial, and that'll take you out to the house.
It was Nine Inch Nails. Nine Inch Nails was like, oh, you can do that? Oh, and then I moved.
I'm
still a ska guy. I love ska.
Nice.
Are you a Nin fan? Are you a Nine Inch Nails fan, Sam?
I mean, I probably not as much as Dylan is, but yeah, I appreciate Nine Inch Nails. I definitely listened to them for a while. I don't think I ever owned an album, but my friends did. Mm-hmm. And you know, if the songs are on, I'll listen.
It's a bit love or hate it.
Yeah.
I dabble in that zone, you know, Ministry, KMFDM.
Yeah.
Pop Elite Itself. You know, when they were produced by Trent Reznor, that was a good album.
Right. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is that so?
Yeah, it's so. Corey's more of a funk man.
I'm a funk man. Yeah.
All right.
He likes the funk. He goes deep in that.
I do. I go deep into the grooves of the records and the music.
But I'm also a big reggae guy, and that was actually bringing it back to Raz. There was a reggae theme. The music was reggae.
Did you
learn the lyrics to that song?
I did.
Do people ever know if I was actually
going to sing it or not?
Do people ever recognize you and just say something, call you Raz?
Yeah, constantly. Even 10 years later, or however long it's been, 8 years, whatever it is, I still get approached occasionally, and it freaks me out. More often than not, they think I'm Rob Zombie, but I do get the Raz fans that still find me.
But you don't.
And I run. What's that?
You don't look homeless.
Not right now. I got my fancy blue shirt on.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I run the Facebook page for Raz. You know, I still interact with that community quite a bit.
Okay.
So, and you know, do you get interesting questions, interesting sort of anecdotes that people sort of pepper you with?
Does anyone give you a Razzlet?
No, but I gave away Razzlets at one time. I gave away two. There was a girl on Etsy who was making them. I almost bought one, I think. Oh, yeah. I convinced her to let me do a raffle, and I gave some away. I've gotten some fan art, and a whole lot of people took pictures with me and sent those to me. So that's
I thought you might like this picture that
Here's
I took.
Here's a picture of you.
You don't
me.
Know me.
Here's Thanks. A picture of you.
I think the idea is you get your picture taken with, you know, a celebrity, and you print it out. You send it to them so that they can sign it and send back.
Sure.
That's what I
These were digital, so I don't think I could sign them.
No.
I just love that.
Sharpie still won't come off my computer. No.
Here's a picture that you'll never use.
Yeah.
See you later.
Hey, did you want a picture of you and a guy named Doug? Because here it is. Thanks, Doug.
I'm Thank Doug.
You. Great. Oh, if you didn't know, I'm the Doug.
I'm Doug, and then that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. I would like experiences like that. You know, just to have a more absurd life, right?
I think it's fun to a point, and then it's like, oh man, like, you know, that was a while ago, or I've moved on from that.
So Sam, like, what are your feelings on like how long this sort of thing has followed you?
Like, because we approached you out of the blue, and I mean, obviously, weird.
I mean, I love it. Like, it's not one of those things where anyone who gets sort of sick of that thing, mm-hmm. where it's like, I did that like 20 years ago, guys. Just give it a rest. There's other things that I'm doing. I don't get that. It's like, great, you know? Like, that's what you recognize me from? Awesome. Like, I occasionally get people that, like, remember I had done this one YouTube video that peaked in 2007. And, it got a couple million views or whatever. And people still come up to me with that. And I'm like, oh, that's insane that you remember that. I feel bad you had to watch something that's not in HD. I would never... I don't think I would ever do anything that I would regret and be, I'd be like, yeah, why would you have done that project if you thought down the line you would turn your head and snub it, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's like a sort of positive way to look.
That's a fantastically positive way to look
self,
at it.
Self-affirming way to look at it.
Well, I mean, with something like Raz, for example, there's absolutely no way that you would ever look back and go like, oh man, why would I do something that this lighthearted video where these two, comedians.
Why would I dance on a plate with fish? What was I thinking? Which is, I think that is my favorite moment in that whole thing. It's like the fish dance.
The fish dance was brilliant. What about the hose? Forget about the hose.
That is probably obviously the thing that when nobody has anything else to say to me, they're like, you were Raz, what about the hose? That's the go-to.
That's the go-to.
Quoting at me.
And then you just say, are you obligated at that point?
Forget about it. Yeah.
Forget about the hose.
Depending on where I'm at with my day, I'll be like, I'll either say it or I'll say something close enough.
Right.
So after that, did you do like how much more acting did you do, like just trying to like get gigs, like that kind of thing through that strange agent you had?
I mean, on that scale, almost none.
Yeah.
But I did, a bunch of other YouTube videos with other people and stuff like that. And that's pretty much where it stayed. I think I had like a few like really, really small, like featured extra type things in a couple indie films that I'm not sure ever came out. So, and that was about it.
And so now you work for, you do some work for Nerdist?
Yeah, it's Legendary Digital is the corporate brand. And then within that, I do some shows for Geek and Sundry and for Nerdist.
Cool. What kind of shows for Nerdist? Like video, like some of their video content, I guess?
So they're both live streaming. The Geek and Sundry stuff is all Twitch channel, and the Nerdist is like their own proprietary live stream, so it's like a subscription-based thing, and it's different stuff. Sometimes I do this show called Public Access, which is for Nerdist, which is like literally just a throwback to those Public Access days, and they go, if you have a show idea and you want to do it, we'll put you on for 30 minutes.
Oh.
And like they do some horrible stuff and it's fantastic.
What have you...
And it feels a lot like, a Tim and Eric sketch at times.
So you get a lot of people that are like have no business being broadcasted.
Oh, definitely. There was definitely, I want to word this in a way that if anybody ever finds this somehow, there was those people that did a show at one point, I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. Like a talk show kind of thing. It was insanity. And then there was like these guys that did sort of a throwback to those old horror show, like horror hosted shows, like Elvira and all that. Except or their host was a
Dr.
puppet.
Dr. Franken. What was that one? I don't know if you guys
had
that. Is
that the guy in the suit?
No, there was one. It was broadcast out of Hamilton, Ontario. And you probably would have seen it, but it's got cult status here. It was Dr. Oh my God.
Franken
something. But it was
Weenie?
Like,
yeah. No.
Oh my gosh. All right, I gotta look it up.
So like what's some of the weird things that you've seen doing this little
aside from the homeless people doing the show?
Yeah, aside from the homeless people.
That was probably the weirdest because they had like this one guest on who made like these giant puppets that were, if you took maybe GWAR and like a 70s visual ideology and mashed that together, it was that kind of thing, like these giant teethed fish. And then people did some horrible things with that. It was weird. But the costumes on that, or wardrobe, was a little too revealing and and not tastefully fun at all.
Right on.
And so now, did everyone only get one shot? Or if they were good, like, they'd be like, yeah, come back another time.
There's definitely repeat shows. I mean, I'm not on there a lot, so there might be more things than I know of that repeat. But they have, like, a comic book show that comes back once a month, which is called We've Got Issues. And it's just two guys sitting at a table talking about comic books. And I'm like...
Oh, the guy from the Slash Filmcast is on We've Got Issues. What's his name?
Which guy? Is it Brian Compton?
No.
There's probably like seven shows called We've Got Issues.
Probably. What's the guy's name? He's on the Slash Filmcast.
Well, I don't know.
You don't listen to the Slash Filmcast?
I don't.
Anyways, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. I haven't really delved into the Nerdist content. Have you met Chris Hardwick, the chief nerd?
I have not.
Really?
I haven't met him, and I've never met Will Wheaton.
Or Jonah Ray?
And nope. And Felicia Day, who created Geek & Sundry, has not been on set since I've worked there, but I've actually met her prior to that.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So, Sam, what it seems like you're always into some sort of creative endeavor. What's keeping you creative nowadays?
The seven main things I'm working on.
Yes, the seven.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I do a live stream on my Facebook in the morning, which is facebook.com/samproof. And it's mostly just like a rally of like keeping each other motivated and chatting and hanging out. We talk about live streaming a lot and YouTube a lot. I do a podcast with Art Tebble called Kickin' Show, where we feature different crowdfunding projects from Kickstarter. Half of them are good, and then half of them are like really bad. And so we'll give pointers to how you could make these better.
And would you buy any of them? Have you bought into any of these Kickstarters?
My co-host has bought a lot, which is half the reason he's on there. He's like the... he's the consumer side of it, and I'm sort of the marketing side of it. I'll, like, you know, point out all the different things they could be doing better or what they've done right, you know, stuff like that.
Do you get any of those Kickstarters to give you something for free? Be like, hey, we're reviewing this. We're giving you...
deal making.
I can't remember right now because I got a bunch of stuff for Pizza Games and Zombies show for free. And I feel like you know what? Actually, I did get recently. Nope, that was Pizza Games and Zombies. Pizza Games and Zombies, which I haven't done in a long time, still like every month gets a board game delivered. And I'm like, wow. Guys.
Is that why you have so many board games behind you?
Yeah.
Because that could get really out of hand in terms of storage space. I'm a vinyl collector, so... That is something I deal with.
Right on. Yeah. I can't remember if Kickin's gotten any crowdfunding stuff of late.
That's a podcast. I'm going to have to check it out.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We do that. We live stream it Tuesdays at 10 when it works out. Uh-huh. Sometimes not. And then we usually put it up on SoundCloud and iTunes by Thursday. So... And it's, so far we've kept it to weekly. We're hitting our 50th episode this week.
Well, congratulations.
Thanks. Yeah. And then as far as other projects, I'm starting a Twitch channel, or I've started a Twitch channel, and I've been teaching myself programming. So I'm, like, creating a game that's played in the chat room. It's like, there's all these Twitch channels where it's just, like, this guy playing a game, which is cool and all if he's interesting enough, I guess, or she. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't. But I wanted to do something more interactive because why live stream unless you're actually going to be really interactive? Yeah. So I'm trying to learn to program so I can make this game. Right now it is a glorified version of King of the Hill and not the cartoon. Just the I'm on a hill, you're pushing people off.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
That sounds exciting.
That sounds, you know, like a little bit of a twist on the Twitch.
Yeah.
The Twitch concept.
The Twitch concept.
Yeah. It gets more complex every week, or at least hopefully it will.
Cool. We should. So I think everybody should to check that stuff out.
Yep.
Very cool. I have nothing to plug. Dylan, do you want to plug anything?
Do I want to plug anything? This isn't the podcast for plugging.
Yeah, but I'm letting you plug.
We're more interested in our guests. At this time, I mean, I could plug my music, but I wasn't planning on it.
Do it. We're giving you the option.
All right. Sam, do I have your blessing?
Yeah, go for it. It's your podcast. You could just edit this in later. I wouldn't even know.
Sure, just cut it out if you feel self-conscious, man.
I don't
like,
feel
later
self-conscious.
Later on, you're totally like, psh, I totally love pineapple on pizza.
Full circle.
Well, for me personally, what would I be plugging? Well, the record label, Sweet Sensi Records, number 3 is now out. You can buy it off our Bandcamp, or which is sweetsensirecords.bandcamp.com. You can also order it off of redeyerecords.co.uk or Unearthed Distribution. And then we've got another record coming out now. It's going to be a double 10-inch with 4 tracks, and that is going to be hopefully released by the summer.
Yay. So Sam, we're gonna look out for all your stuff and definitely follow you a lot more, and
we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to
us. Yeah, now you can go back to being a dad and away from
dad.
These a great dad. You seem to be a very skillful dad, Sam, very understanding and patient dad. If we're dads someday, we hope to be dads.
To push.
Yeah. No, it's all very good for learning for the future, right, Dylan?
Yes, and real quick, do you want to trade the audio? You said you wanted the audio for this. Did you still want it?
You know what? Are you going to leave the live stream up on your Facebook page? Did you still live stream the whole thing? Or
I took it down. I took it down because my battery was dead.
He couldn't do it.
So,
I can upload the files for you. Do you want Wave?
Yeah, I just wanted like a clip, so it's really whatever. What's best for you? Can you get me an archive of the video from the live stream? Do you think?
Well, the audio
it saves to the Facebook, right?
I saved it to my phone. I have that, but I did cut it out at the end. I can get that to you.
Yeah, that's all. I don't need the whole thing. I just want to, throw it up in a vlog and be like, check it out. See what these guys are doing.
Check it out.
We did stuff. We did a thing.
There's also the video the full video. I did the full screen cap on my computer.
Oh, from the Skype. Yeah, send me that. That'll be great.
Okay, consider it done.
All right, cool, man.
Sam, you are so cool. Thank you for taking some time out of your day to talk to us.
Right on. Anytime, guys. Like, if you want me back, let me know.
We will definitely let you know.
Sweet. We'll be in touch.
Cool. All Thanks, right. Sam.
Thank you.
Cool, guys.
Peace.
See you later. Take it easy.
You too. Ram.